Good morning. Am I turned up? Yeah. So, I get to do the sermon on marriage, and how fitting that I've decorated the church specially for you this morning. I was delighted when I found out that I had to do this sermon. Some of you may remember from a previous talk when I mentioned my love of the film Love Actually, much to Alan's disdain, that I am a bit of a romantic at heart. Then I started to think. I'm very aware that there will be people listening to this who are not in a marriage setting for any number of reasons, and some of those reasons may be very painful. Please bear with a sermon on marriage, but also be aware that most of what I'm going to say can be applied to those we love and care about. And then I wondered what to say. I've read in one country that engaged couples have a 2 to 3 year period of learning about marriage before they are able to tie the knot. And marriage courses often go on for a few weeks. So how do I condense all of that wealth of wisdom into 10 minutes? So being a bear of little brain, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm not going to talk about the complexities of when a marriage goes wrong, and I in no way wish to be judgmental on marriages that have had difficulties. Instead, I'm going to talk about the Green Cross Code of marriage. I appreciate that this is simple, and please don't think that I'm therefore not aware of difficulties. But I hope that if you're experiencing difficulties, that a positive take will be helpful. Before I introduce you to the Green Cross Code of marriage, I want to remind us of the fundamental importance of friendship within a marriage. Proverbs 2, verse 17, calls your spouse Al-Lup. I apologise if I've not pronounced that correctly. But this is a unique Hebrew word that translates as special confidant or best friend. The book of the Song of Solomon has a lovely line that the bride says of her groom, "This is my lover, this is my friend." Friendship flourishes if we have a sense of unity in a common cause. And that sense of unity may come from a shared faith, shared goals, shared hobbies, shared desires for one's family, and a shared sense of fun. And like most friendships, the more time we invest in them, the more they flourish, grow, and deepen. A true friend is loyal, non-judgmental, trustworthy, loving, caring, and has your best interests at heart. If true friendship underpins our relationships, there'll be a strong foundation to the marriage. So, within this context of a basis of friendship in marriage, let us consider the Green Cross Code of marriage. You may remember the Green Cross Code of road safety, which was, can anyone remember? No? Correct. Stop, look, listen. I've changed it a little to look, listen, love. And I'll go through each in turn. Firstly, look. How does God look at us? He sees us with love, compassion, as forgiven, and of great value. How we look at our spouses makes a huge difference. A look can convey 1,000 words and will almost definitely show our spouse how we're feeling towards them. For our spouses to know that they are cherished and loved makes them feel special and will change the way you interact together. A glance of love is so invaluable. We need to look after each other, caring and supporting each other in times of difficulty. We need to look out for each other. Some of you may know that I'm hard of hearing in one of my ears, and quite often when crossing the road with Simon, he'll hold me back if I haven't heard a car. I'm clearly not taking the Green Cross code on board. Appreciate it's a simple example of looking out for each other, but it can relate to so many things that we do. Try to look for the way God sees our spouse, to see the good in them, to see the potential for them, and to encourage them. And we should look for the positives in our spouse. One of the recurring themes in preparing for this talk was to emphatically tell married couples not to put each other down in public. And I would, of course, extend this to behind closed doors. The damage done by putting your spouse down is huge. And finally, let us look at ourselves. Look at the way we are in our relationships. Look at our attitudes. Look at how we can improve. Look at how we can love. Let's look, learn, and be prepared to change. Secondly, listen. Most obviously, we need to listen to each other. And by listening, I mean to listen actively, not to hear passively. I'll say that again. To listen actively, not to hear passively. How often might we think, oh, I've heard all this before, I've had a hard day at work, I can't listen anymore, please just give me a break. But we need to feel listened to. We need to listen to know how best to react, to support, and to love. We need to listen to the story underlying the words that are said. One study I read stated that married couples, on average, only talk to each other for 12 minutes a day. I'm not sure where listening came into that, but it can't have been much more and may well have been considerably less. Listening and communicating with one another is key, and making time for that is absolutely vital. Let's listen to God. Let's try to hear him in our relationships. Let's listen to him for guidance and wisdom through his word. Listen to God together. Remember, our marriages flourish when we're unified in a common cause. Listen to God together. A helpful illustration of this is to imagine a circle with God in the middle and the married couple on either side of the circle at the periphery. And the closer the couple come towards God, the closer they come together. And the closer they come together, the closer they come to God. And finally, love. Our reading today from 1 Corinthians sums up the meaning of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I think this is the best description of love that I know. And I'd encourage us all to learn it, reread it regularly, and take it on board in our relationships. It's a high bar, but shouldn't we be reaching for the best in our marriages, for the sake of each other, for the sake of our families, for the sake of those around us, and for the sake of our communities? Marriages have a ripple effect. Let's aim for good marriages with ripples sweeping positively through us to build a society based on love and the love of God. I know it's not everything, but this Green Cross Code of Marriage will, I hope, help to enrich both our marriages and our friendships. Look, listen, love. Amen.